Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Katie Handyside as my special expert guest. Katie Handyside, CSNA Master, currently resides in Palma de Mallorca, a small island in Spain. Katie was born in Cornwall, England, but lived throughout the United Kingdom, including the Midlands, Scotland, Wales, and London. Katie left England at age 20 to travel the world. She has gone jungle trekking in Belize, endured army selection in the Malvern Hills, and as an athlete, has competed in the half Ironman, a few half marathons, and continues to run, cycle, and compete in duathlons and triathlons in Palma. Katie set up her personal training business in Mallorca over 6 years ago from virtually nothing to a very successful client base. She now has her own training studio in the largest super yacht yard in Mallorca called STP. Katie's clients are mainly yacht captains, stewardess, and deckhands, although she also runs a mobile service to clients who live locally in Mallorca. Katie does private training as well as group kettlebell training, circuit training, and boot camps. Her passion is helping people, exercising, and learning as much as she can about health and fitness. Good morning, Katie. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hi, Corey.
Nice to have you on the phone, and tell us what the weather is like today there in Mallorca.
Well, it's lovely and sunny, or it was. It's actually 9 o'clock in the evening here now, but it's been lovely and sunny, but quite a fresh, cold wind here.
Is there any snow in that region of the world?
There isn't, but there could be, actually. It's very unusual. We've had an amazing winter. It's been sunny every day. We've had very, very little rain. Maybe like a couple of weeks of rain is all we've had. But yeah, the wind is pretty fresh. And so I imagine high up in the mountains, perhaps not here, but maybe in the higher mountain regions, there is some snow up there because that wind is so cold. But as I say, lovely clear blue skies and nice, sunny, fresh days.
Sounds wonderful. Now, Katie, you've traveled all over the world. How did you end up in Mallorca, Spain?
Well, funny enough, I started my travels here when I was 20. I left university in London with a massive overdraft, and my elder brothers worked on the super yachts that are based here. And I had a big, as I say, overdraft to pay off. So I jumped on one of the boats and I started from here. And so this is where I've ended up coming back to, partly because half of my family live here and partly because I've lived all over the world and there hasn't been anywhere that's sort of captured my heart like this place has. So I always dreamed of coming back here and I knew that I'd always return.
So the world is really our oyster, isn't it? What about people who feel so attached to their family or to the place they were born, and do you sort of see them as missing out on what's going on around the rest of the world? And what has your experience been to get out more or less and to come back? What has that added up to?
It's a bit like exercise. The more you do, the more you want to do. The more places you go to see, the more you want to travel because you just realize what there is out there. In a way, kind of, I wouldn't say envy, but I think the people that are born and brought up in the same region and they have all their friends and family around them their entire life, in a way I think that's lovely because they have somewhere so familiar to be. I could never do that. I mean, I love living in different places. I get really excited about going away. And I think you learn so much just by seeing different cultures and seeing how other people live. And that experience in itself, you learn a lot more doing that than I think you do anything else. So personally for me, I just love traveling and I love seeing new places.
You're the kind of person that knows that you could probably set up shop anywhere. So when you think of England and we met in Canada and everywhere else you've been, you chose Mallorca. What is it that you like about that particular place? And what is your lifestyle like there?
My lifestyle's pretty amazing. I'd say for a sports person, this is an incredible place to live because you have the sea that you can swim in for most of the year. I mean, you can even swim in the sea in December. So it's only for the first couple of months of the year that you cut it sort of a little bit nippy to swim in the sea. But You know, you can go windsurfing in the wintertime or kiteboarding. You've got the mountains. You can go hiking, road biking. I mean, a lot of the Olympic teams come here to train purely for the reason that they can still continue to train outside. In fact, on Sunday, we had the world champion road bike people here doing a race. So it's very exciting. Very exciting place to live, and as a sports person, as I say, if you like being outdoors, then you can do pretty much everything here except ski, but then you can jump on a plane and in an hour you could be skiing, so you've got pretty much everything here.
Sounds like it's a really outdoorsy kind of place. So, like, one of the reasons I love Hawaii is because the weather doesn't really change. It's very predictable. You can plan a picnic 3 months in advance, and it's 99% likely that it's going to be a beautiful day. Is it kind of like that there?
Yes, it is, but I would say as well we do have the seasons, which is really nice, because I think if you live somewhere where the climate is pretty much the same all year round, you also miss out on a lot. It gets chilly enough here in the wintertime where you can have a real fire, which is lovely, and you can go hiking in the mountains, which you wouldn't want to do, for example, in the summer where it gets really, really hot. So you have your seasonal sports, which I think makes you appreciate the summer, and equally then you appreciate doing things in the winter too. So I kind of like having the seasons. I absolutely love living here because it just has so much to offer, and I could just scream and shout at people who live here and they don't really appreciate it. You know, it's you can just do pretty much everything here.
I did some reading. So there's a lot of history there. Are there ruins from the Roman Empire on that island?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of history here. I hope you're not going to start testing me on it.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know more than I do.
just from an interest point of view, because, of course, a lot of people listening to this are situated in the States or maybe in Australia, and they've never been to Spain, and they may be thinking, wow, that sounds kind of cool, this little island off the coast of Spain, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is amazing, and there's a lot of history here, and there's the contrast between the beautiful old country villages and then Palma, which is, I mean, it is a city, but to me it feels like a big town, and I'm sure to many people who would come over from Canada and the States, it would be like a small town. But I would say one thing that is absolutely stunning is the cathedral. Palma Cathedral is just, I mean, I've seen it every day over the last 6 years and I still never get tired of seeing it. It's just this amazing architectural feat, and it just, I can't really describe it, but when you see it, you're just like, wow, this is amazing. So yes, the history is pretty incredible here.
So what are the people, the local people like there, like their attitudes towards life, their nutrition habits? Are they health conscious? Do they appreciate fitness like the typical, I guess, is it mostly Spanish people that live there?
It's predominantly Mallorquin people that live here. So it's the island people that live here. But equally, because it's a port and because of its location, there is so multicultural. I mean, you have people from all over the world here. And the super yachts, which is the industry that I predominantly train in, it brings people from all over the world who live here, and I think they feel the same way about it here as I do. So you've got a real mixture of people here. You've got the Mallorquins, you've got the mainland Spanish, you've got South American Spanish, you've got Americans, Canadians, Australians, English. It's really very multicultural. It's quite an exciting place to live.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and I am definitely going to put that on my map. Now, what about your own personal connection to, like, exercise and fitness? Is this something that goes way back since you were a little girl? Did you always have an affinity for sports and activity and fitness?
Definitely. I mean, I was brought up a country girl with three older brothers, and we always had big gardens and lots of space to run around in. So we spent most of the time outside making camps and climbing trees. And I think that's always stuck with me. Even now, I don't like to be inside too much. I love being outside. So, yes, I've always been an active person, and I come from a very healthy family. I mean, as I say, we were always outside playing. My mum's cooking. Everything was made from scratch. So, yeah, it's been kind of drummed into me. In school, I sort of won athletic awards and, yeah, I've always been very active. I got into weight training because my older brothers used to have some dumbbells at home, And so that's how I started with that. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just lucky that I've sort of been able to pursue a hobby and then realized along the way how passionate I was about it. And even now, all these years later, I still absolutely love it. I think it's because it's such a practical thing. I mean, it has to be the most important thing you can ever know is how to feed and feed your body and get the most out of it. It has to be, I don't know why they don't really teach you much more about it in school. It's far more important than learning all that mumbo jumbo that you do learn and never ever end up using.
That is so true, so absolutely true. Today, you know, I've got three kids and each one of them now has their own child, but today I would never, ever put a child in the public education system. I would homeschool them with the internet. I'd put them into privately organized sport activities. I would expose them to film, to culture, get them on languages. You know, there's so much more that you could do, but I think that what I've learned by my life and living and seeing people is that a lot of the mumbo-jumbo, as you call it, that is incorporated into our brains kind of ruins us. It distracts us. It pulls us away from really what's important. And I find that, like, you're an entrepreneur. You're self-employed. You're not an employee. And I think that the school system doesn't want to create entrepreneurs. It wants to create employees that are good little patriots that pay their taxes. That seems to be how the system is set up.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But what about what you're doing now as an entrepreneur? Obviously, you know, you and I are the same. We operate our own show. We call the shots. What to you is the upside and downside of that, say, compared to being an employee and working for a company or a corporation or a small business?
I think sort of when you have your own business, you can look at it and think, God, this is all down to me at the end of the day, which is, it's a double-edged sword, because if you're very motivated and driven, which I think you have to have your own business, you always want to be doing well. So you're always going to want to take on that extra client and, you know, maybe work that extra hour, because, as I say, you look at what you've built and it's all down to you. And sometimes I look at people that do the old 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and I think, God, I'd love to be like you. You close the door at 5 o'clock and you go home and you don't have to think about work. Whereas when you have your own business, I don't think you ever really stop thinking about it in a subconscious way. But on the other side of that, I could never be one of those people that works a 9 to 5, 5 days a week, partly because I hate that sort of routine anyway. I love what I do, and I love, yeah, as I say, I'm very proud of the fact that I've built it all myself. If you want to have the day off, you can have the day off. You know, it's all down to you. So I would encourage anybody, if they love what they do, to get out there and try it themselves, because once you do, I don't think there's ever going back into the sort of conventional lifestyle.
I agree completely with that statement. The freedom, to me, is what I'm not willing to give back or give up. I feel like an animal in a cage. I always did when I was employed, no matter how good it was, and it was never that good. Nothing compared to the freedom. And for me, I've learned that word, that is such an important, that is health, that is life, that is the breath of air, the freedom, knowing that I'm in charge. And something you said, very important, when you do it yourself, you know that you did it, no one did it, you did it, and so you can claim that as your right to being who and what you are. And you can't do that when you work for someone else and when you're being paid to do something, in some cases, that you don't even want to do. So I think it's a self-esteem issue. I'm curious about why people are not motivated to get fit, to eat well, to do what is obvious, what we all know, and what science teaches as absolute fact. Why isn't the great majority of people doing what seems to be the most obvious thing in the world? There's got to be a connection about the grounding, about the foundation, about how people are raised and how they think in their consciousness. So now you're mostly training, I guess, people that are connected to the shipping industry or the yacht businesses there?
Yes, predominantly. I do have some local people. I have got some Mile Keen clients, but predominantly it's people that work on boats, partly because of my situation, which I've got a studio down in one of the super yacht boatyards. So it's probably quite hard for a lot of your listeners to imagine this kind of work. But these boats are sort of 50 to 100 meters in length, and they're just, it's just a different world. These crew run 12 to up to sort of 40 crew on board, and they're just sort of luxury gym palaces worth millions and millions of dollars. So that's, I've got a studio in the middle of one of these yards, which can take maybe about 30 of these boats. So, yeah, but it's just a different world, as I say.
What are these people like, their attitudes? And I'm curious about what types of illnesses or infections or conditions you see that might be in them that may be unique to that culture or lifestyle.
Well, a hell of a lot of drinking and partying goes on, that's sure. Which can be quite frustrating, because when you're trying to educate people and get them into a routine of exercising and things, it's sometimes I get really annoyed because they don't show up for training sessions, or, you know, they're hungover. But funny, actually, you are really are dealing with a special population. I mean, a lot of the crew on the boats and the captains and things, they don't look after themselves properly. They live in a tiny space. Although a lot of these boats are sailboats as well as motorboats, and their jobs can be quite active, they do lose so much of their cardiovascular capabilities. And although they look, a lot of the guys look quite fit, their functional capabilities really do go back to zero. I mean, it's just incredible to see. I suppose it's a bit like when you work with office people, people that sit behind desks all day, and you really notice how they lose their coordination, and it's really quite an eye-opener working with these people.
I bet. Now, does that mean, because of your connection to them, that you get out on the water and go for different sails and things like that too?
No, not with them, unfortunately not, no. I mean, I love being on the water. I really love being on the water, and I love being out in boats. But unfortunately not, because a lot of them, they work on these boats, and the boats only go to sea when the owners are on board. And obviously, the owners aren't going to want somebody like me on board at the same time. Although I do train some super yacht owners, but not these really big boats. I think they have their own trainers, because most of those big boats have their own gyms on board as well.
So when you first address a client or meet somebody that is looking for your type of service, what are some of the steps that you take initially to help you determine how fit they are and what kind of shape they're in?
Well, I do a basic fitness test for everybody, and I, along the way, I sort of assess them, and I get them to fill out questionnaires on their nutrition and so forth, and then just get them to do very basic exercises like squats and lunges and push-ups and all kinds of coordination exercises and planks, and just test sort of where we're starting from. In a way, half of it is an assessment from my point of view, and the other half is just so they can see for themselves where they're starting from, so that as you progress with the program, they can really see how far they've come. I think that's quite important to have a baseline. I guess you do that with whoever you're training anyway.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many trainers, though, don't test their clients first. To me, that, you know, I just don't understand how that could even be. You know, how can you put someone through a program, or know how to put them through a program, or know what kind of program to put them through until you know what kind of animal you're dealing with? And really, their fitness, like you said, is so easy to test. I suppose that just in a few minutes from working with one of your clients, you can tell pretty quickly what kind of shape they're in.
Yeah, you can. But I would say it's funny. You see, as I say, some of these guys, they come in and they're in pretty, like, to look at, they look like they're in pretty good shape. They've got good bodies, because don't forget they're used to pulling up sails and running around with big heavy lines and stuff. But that kind of fitness is very different to the kind of fitness that we're talking about. So somebody who appears to look quite in shape can actually be surprisingly out of shape and have, for example, lower back pain, shoulder injuries from repetitive use. So, yeah, you've got to be careful for sort of judging people. You know, sometimes I quite like to push people, and you push them a little bit too hard, and it's quite surprising, you know, a few days later they'll say, even after doing the fitness test, that they can hardly move. And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, in a way that makes me want to cringe, because Corey, my fitness tests are nothing, you know. It's, as I say, it's squats and lunges and things that you and I don't even blink at, but they will say that they can hardly move the next day, and that I find quite frightening. I think it's quite frightening for them too.
Yeah, and hopefully that should motivate them to make the changes. That's why I love reality. She bites us right in the right places, and she's not prejudiced. You just pay attention and respect that. Now, what about yourself? A lot of trainers get caught up in the training. They get tired from the training. They get sick of the gym, sick of doing what they're doing. Sounds like you don't. You love what you do. What about your own personal workouts? How do you find the time to work those in, and when do you do that, and how do you do that?
Well, I don't think that you need very much time to work out. I mean, you can do a good workout in a good short intensive workout in 35 minutes. So I always make sure, I mean, I've actually joined, not that I tell any of my clients this, but I've joined a local gym here it's like $20 a month, and it has everything that I need in there. And that's my escapism. I mean, I go and I have my workout, and I just, that's essential to me. So I maybe do minimum three of those a week, about three to four of those a week. And then at the weekends, I love to head off on my bike. I'm into doing triathlons and duathlons at the moment, so I'll maybe go and do a competition and use that as my training. You can't work in this industry and not look after yourself, because there's a saying that says, you know, you've got to be a good role model. You've got to practice what you preach. So if you're trying to be a good teacher to other people, you need to make sure that you're living the life yourself, I think. So I always make time for that.
Yeah, good for you. That's, I think, what integrity is all about, Katie, and you got lots of that. Now, what about supplements? Do you have access to a wide range? I know parts of Europe are very limited, very conservative, very restrictive. What are the regulations like in Spain for buying dietary supplements?
Well, it's really frustrating, because as well, I remember back to the time when I lived in Canada and America, and I mean, your sports supplements over there are just amazing. You can get your hands on pretty much everything. Over here in Spain, it's controlled, and the supplements you get are from pharmacies, and they are crap quality. I mean, I get my supplements off the internet, but they're not the kind of quality I don't think that I would choose if I had more choice. But you know, they're very strict on importing nutritional supplements here, and as I say, the sports supplement shops here are just full of protein powders, but not even good quality protein powders. I mean, they're really, really high in sodium, artificial sweeteners, bulking agents. And so it can be quite frustrating. But, yeah, I mean, personally, I always have taken a multivitamin mineral antioxidant, and I take some other bits and pieces as well. But as I say, I really do miss you guys over there. You're very lucky to have what you have and have the choice that you have with everything, with the sports supplements, with all your amazing organic foods, you know, your selection of choices. You can get organic here, but you do kind of wonder about the quality of the stuff you're eating, and you have to put so much trust in your suppliers. That is a big gap in the market, especially here in Spain.
I guess that's part of the price of paradise.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your website, Katie. What is your website address?
My website address is www.katiehandyside.com. But I have to say, my website is over 6 years old, and I'm in the middle of updating it at the moment. And it's going to have a blog connected to it and all kinds of things. All the photographs will be updated and lots more information on there. Again, a drawback of working for yourself is the fact that everything comes down to you at the end of the day. So it just takes me a long time to get around to doing things like that when there's so much other stuff that I need to be concentrating on. But as I say, my website will be updated and should be done in the next month, I hope.
Yes, you hope. I hope too, because I've been working on my new website for a year now, and I know exactly what it's like. You're juggling. It's like we're jugglers, you know, and we add a new thing.
Yeah.
oh, yeah, let's do that. So, and then an opportunity comes, oh, yeah, let's take that in. And then all of a sudden we're up to 14 and 15. And you see, but that to me is part of the excitement versus the boredom and some of the faces I see as an alternative to doing what most people seem to be quite content with. So, yeah, I would rather have too much than not enough and sit around and do nothing, although there is a time and a place for that for sure. So we look forward to that new website, and I know that's part of your personality, and I love my website too because I can express myself, and it's great for business, and it's really the new age calling card. Katie, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and I know that it's in the evening there. It's just a beautiful morning here in Vernon. Did you ever get a chance to get out to the Okanagan and see the interior of BC when you were in Canada?
No, I didn't, unfortunately, although I explored all the Gulf Islands, went down the west coast of Canada and America by boat, so I did see some amazing stuff. And the one amazing thing I did see when I was in the Gulf Islands was a cougar in the wild. And having spoken to a lot of people from Canada, I think I was really lucky to have seen that because it was only, it pounced down a meter away from me. Yeah, I did see some great stuff over there, but no, I didn't do much traveling inland.
Yeah, there's just so much to see. What a big country Canada is. Yeah. But you know, the islands you spoke of, those are treasure in themselves, and there's just so much to see in BC. But anyway, our time is gone. Thanks so much for being our guest on this edition of SNU, and I'd love to have you make a final statement or a comment that you can leave with us, something maybe philosophical, a little deep, a little heavy, something out of your heart. What is your message to people today who are struggling with self-management, with self-care, with doing what needs to be done? And they're looking at someone like you and they're thinking, oh, she's so lucky. You know, what is the difference between you and everyone else, Katie?
Well, for a start, I don't believe in luck. I think you make your own luck to a certain extent. And if you really want something to happen, you've got to make it happen. It's down to you at the end of the day. I think especially being from developed countries, we have no excuses. We've got all the opportunities that we need. We've had education and everything else. We have everything at our fingertips. We're totally spoiled. So if you're not doing what you're really passionate about, then you have to ask yourself why. I think there's a lot to be said for just getting on and doing stuff and stop procrastinating and making excuses.
Katie Handyside, CSNA Master, has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. She is a resident of Palma de Mallorca. She's a personal trainer and has her own business. Katie, we thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.